I'm literally curating like this huge list of all the times like celebrities have gotten caught up in scams, and I'm gonna make this like epic video of just like so many celebrities that are caught up in crypto scams. And yeah, I think it's gonna be a good one.
And by caught up in crypto scams, you mean they got scammed or they were involved in scamming people?
I guess both, because you could put Mark Cuban in both parties there.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of the way things go these days. It's kind of like the NFT thing is another thing where at first I didn't get NFTs. Then I got NFTs, but I didn't get why they were so big in their current form all over the place right now. Like, why are people doing, like ETF like funds, NFT funds and baskets of things and all that's kind of like I didn't get that. And now I'm kind of getting that, like, because all these celebrities are into them. And some of them, like, for example, Gary Vee, who, like, he's been a collector and reseller of collectibles his entire life. So I get that he gets it. But almost everyone else who's doing NFTs in the celebrity space is probably just saying this is the easiest way to milk more money from this crypto space without knowing
Oh,
anything
yeah.
about it. So.
Like what I was mentioning with Logan Paul, his whole thing was that they were building a crypto zoo and they were getting all these designers and all this stuff. And then people found out later that it was literally Adobe stock photography. And they just used basic Adobe stock footage, photos and stuff. And then they just made the most basic, least amount of work possible, like hired someone off of Fiverr and
Yeah.
like it's
I
just
do
wild.
think the value of NFTs as just NFTs is going to go close to zero in the coming decade, but then the value of specific NFTs will go very much higher. That's just my kind of gut feeling. But anyway, we're gonna run the intro graphic. We've been chattering too long. We do have a few people watching, and hi one time as always. And let's get going. So, hey everyone, happy Friday. We're an hour earlier than usual because of, scheduling differences and stuff, but we'll see what the engagement's like. We'll see if like more people are actually around for this. It's kind of funny because what is it like 5 hours? It's like early evening, mid evening in Europe. So we might get some more European people today. It might just also be that part of like the Friday afternoon where you're just coasting out. If you're one of those 9 to 5ers, you're just kind of coasting out, and it's like, okay, well, at three, it's like the 3 Eastern, it's like the random few last things you can do before, scooting out the door. I don't know. We'll see how the little time difference and the whole thing changes. It's kind of
This is
weird
safe
because,
for work.
largely, yes. I mean,
Largely.
just, I try not to swear too much. I try not to what other things, but it tends to work out. So just to remind, like, comment, share, subscribe, all of the above. If you're watching on YouTube, there's a link in the description for the Odyssey live stream, which I always prefer people watch on Odyssey, but YouTube's fine too. I wonder how big my YouTube channel would be if I didn't tr constantly try to throttle it to death by promoting everything else other than YouTube. But hey, build on a solid decentralized foundation. And just a reminder, cointr.ee/thedesertlinks is the coin tree. You can go leave a live crypto super chat there. I'm paywalling Scott today because, this stuff don't come cheap, he has value, so you have to pay to be able to ask him thanks. But this was a tip from earlier in the week. I made some parody video of Jack Mahler's and like Twitter tips announcement just because he's a little bit goofy in doing it, and also to show that it was a little bit of a nothing burger of announcement, and someone really liked it, so they gave me $10 in Dash and quoted it. So thank you, Anonymous. I already give a tweet shout out, but might as well do it live on the show. All right, so now it's time to go into the crazy stuff. First on the docket is, of course, Dogecoin. So
Of course.
the I have to say, there's like never really too much Dogecoin news. I maybe sound mean to say that, but the headline, this is a good jumping off point, is Dogecoin loses 70% against Bitcoin during 6 months of celebrity Doge endorsements. The Doge may have had its day, the social media, and social media is busy poking fun at Bitcoin skeptic Mark Cuban, et cetera, et cetera. But basically, yeah, Doge is starting to drop out of the top 10 now. So, first off, what's your hot take on this whole thing?
I totally saw this coming. It's pretty hilarious. My buddy about a month ago was like, maybe I should just jump back into Doge. I saw a billboard on the highway and I was like, that is not why you get back into Doge. That is probably because Elon Musk donated a bunch of money to the fund and they're just like running through that with all the marketing and celebrity endorsements as we've seen. But I mean, time and time again, as I've said, and when I was on the last stream, I even said the fees are just insane compared to everything else that could compare to like a digital cash. And I mean, the fees speak for themselves. There's really no use case for Doge. And a lot of the websites that I'm sure you and I both use don't even accept Doge. But, you know, I'll still see Bitcoin Cash, Dash, Litecoin. All the things that are significantly cheaper to use. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised once all the euphoria wears off, a lot of people coming back to Earth. But sadly, now people are moving on to Shiba and hyping that up. So that's a whole new Doge.
Well, it's not as new as Baby Doge. Have you seen Baby Doge coin?
No.
it's another... I think it's a real thing. I'm pretty sure it's a real thing, but it's Baby Doge. And it's Doge, but newer. And it's just like, I know people have made money. I know people who made money on Doge before the Elon times, but I also know people since then who have like come out ahead or have a profit, at least say they did. And it's like, I get like, if you see a big epic Doge pump from like Elon's first tweet, once it starts to settle, I think that some people are like, you know what? This is too much fun for this not to happen again. I'm going to throw some money in and it pumps again. And then once it's like, okay, once Shiba Inu shows up on the scene and you're like, especially once it gets listed on Coinbase, you're like, I'm dumping all my Doge just because the meme power is distributing and it's also weakening. So the inoculation is almost complete. The Doge epic pump. The thing that makes me really sad, I guess, is... I mean, people get like wrecked all the time, whatever. I don't really care. But the thing is, people that are saying like, oh, it's going to be like, we're all, you know, jumping in on the infrastructure. We're going to like develop this and like all this other stuff. Or the people like BitPay, they just added Dogecoin as a payment thing. And then like AMC Theaters is like, oh yeah, we're adding Doge as like a payment, you know. And it's crazy because like you're making yourself look stupid. You're making big business decisions on a joke coin, which won't be used in the future that much. And it's funny because you mentioned the fees. The fees weren't always this high. They were always Doge denominated this high, but they weren't always this high in like fiat valuations. And Dogecoin's transaction volumes got cut in like got 2/3 of it lost since the whole pump stuff because people were actually using it for like little things and then they just stopped because it's just not feasible. So anyway, Doge is going the way of the Doge dough, the dodo. I can't make that thing work.
Sorry. I just had my computer just kind of like spazzed out for a second there.
It's all right.
Am I still good on video?
Yeah. Still see you. Still hear you. Everything should be still be good.
All right. Perfect.
But yeah, the Doge stuff. And then, what was the next one here? This is something that there's a lot of stuff like here that's outside of my like main. Well, let me rant one last thing on the Doge thing. When we're talking about like adoption stuff, you can spend Doge at Bitrefill. So that's already a lot of stuff you can do with it. Not Bitcoin Cash for some reason, but Doge. But I don't know how that makes sense.
Yeah.
But then BitPay, and I can't remember, but maybe Coinbase Commerce do add it. And neither of them support Dash. And that's really annoying to me. But to be like, the backstory on that, as far as I'm able to tell, is that Dash is not approved for use in New York by New York state regulators. And they won't take a second look at because there's just no interest from them in taking a second look Because if they did, they'd find out it's like not super evil dark money. It's like just like Bitcoin, basically, as far as that stuff is concerned. So companies like BitPay and stuff don't want to have a product that just, they don't want to like have a franchise like, oh, Chipotle takes crypto, but not in New York. You can't pay with your favorite coin. Like, they don't want to do that. So they're just like, eh, just not use it at all. And so basically the idea is, hopefully, if someone gets Dash on Gemini, for example, or another bit licensed exchange in New York, then they can start using that to like get at the regulators to take a second look and then whitelist it, and then everything's good. But in the meantime, Clown Coin or Dogecoin, you know, just that's kind of on there, and it's frustrating. But anyway, moving on from all this salt, half of unique active crypto wallets played a blockchain game in Q3. And in-game NFTs have generated $2.3 billion in sales over the past 3 months. And Axies are the top sellers. So do you know much about this, about the blockchain gaming part of the space?
I mean, I used to dabble in it a little bit. I mean, I feel like this this headline is a little misleading because it just says crypto wallets. But obviously, they're talking about only ones that could play games. So obviously not like Bitcoin wallets and... But yeah, I mean, I played like OX Planets and a couple of those different games like Splinterlands and stuff. But yeah, I mean, my take is really this: like, I don't really see the blockchain specific games actually going anywhere. It's more so just kind of like a fad, like a lot of different NFTs and stuff. But I see gaming integrated with blockchain being like the real end goal here, and that's what would make the most sense to me, where we have like major games that are integrating crypto into some degree, or, you know, they're using the blockchain for some aspect of the game. But games that are fully on the blockchain have a lot of just like caveats and issues that kind of hold them back. Like, I can't play OX Planets because, you know, like $30 gas fees on ETH to just, you know, do a basic action in the game is insane. And I'm sure it's better on like other chains, obviously, other than ETH. But I would say that's probably where a lot of the NFTs and the games are being played. So, I mean, it is kind of surprising to me that half of these wallets that they're talking about have actually played in Q3. But yeah, I think it's really, really cool, though. And it's definitely, at least at the very least, showing what NFTs can be in the future.
Yeah, that is it is interesting because a lot of people have been looking for what's the crypto killer app. And so far, as far as like, there's all this like speculative stuff of like, oh, the tech could do this. Oh, IoT, Internet of Things, everyone's going to be sending IOTA from their car's wheel to its steering wheel or whatever. Like, I don't know, whatever. I'm not too versed on that stuff. So don't take it as salt, but all like, and it seems like the market has decided that two things they want: a stable source of value, a store of value that's not fiat, like a hedge against fiat, and they want casino. Like, they want to be able to do casino stuff, like just gamble on Doge. So those are the big things that really pay off. And then obviously all the DeFi and infrastructure around that that allows people to either store their money or, and, you know, trade and store their money or mad gains, you know, like, take the thing and wrap it in this and LP there and stake it there and just like all that kind of stuff. And games are an interesting other thing because, again, it's a lot of like, you know, developed world people who know about crypto. They're using it. The gaming world is probably more techie than the non-gaming world, I would say, just in general. And then it's also probably younger, you know, although there's a lot of old people that are playing games. Not old, but whatever. And there's a lot of kids that want to move value around, and the banking system is just not for them at that stage in their life. So it seems like it fits like a glove around crypto, right? Except,
yeah.
And what you're talking about, the fad games, right? With the fad games of, you know, it's on the blockchain, and the only reason you play it is because you get like free money from it. It goes from like the casino / mad games and gaming together. It like combines those two big things. So that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that, like, I don't think this like article included gambling, like just straight up like casino. Because it says it's mainly talking about NFT games, but yeah, I mean, I see actually more value in the casino games than I do in like NFT based games because way more people want a like solid way to gamble, and if you can do it in a more decentralized way, that's way more beneficial. Like I have a lot of buddies who bet on sports, and the apps that they use are just really not ideal. And you know, you have to go through like approvals to actually get your money out, and there's all these fees and all this stuff attached, and it's
I
just
know how you feel about that stuff.
and it's all terrible. So like if you could just do it on Tron or whatever else. And another thing I'll point out too, with all these like ETH killers, like Tron was supposed to be an ETH killer, and you know, it's been around forever, and it's really just for gambling. So, and I mean, it's good for what it is, but you know, that's what I would point to that, and I'd be like, I mean, until you guys actually show me that you can beat out ETH, like you're gonna just be another like gambling or whatever, like just making duplicates of other applications and stuff like that. But yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting because as far as that's concerned, we've had a million. I can't remember what the first ETH killer was. Was it Neo?
I'm not sure. I mean,
It was,
EOS was one, I think.
yeah, EOS,
Tron.
yeah, EOS, Tron. There's just, I definitely Neo's in there somewhere. But then there's just so many other. I can't even remember what they are, and. You know, then you got like Stellar as like the XRP killer or whatever, and there's just so many that just come and go, come and go over the years, and I'm kind of glad we don't have to deal with Justin Sun's nonsense anymore. Although, this is a, I mean, I guess this wasn't actually on the news docket, but it cropped up recently. Apparently, there is a Bitcoin ETF that got approval today. I saw some like screenshot of
Oh,
a letter
okay.
stuff. And the funny story behind that is it's by Valkyrie, which is a new, it's kind of, you know, like a grayscale, but it's new to the scene. The funny thing about Valkyrie is the Dash Investment Foundation got in on the seed round of funding for them. So Dash partially owns Valkyrie, like the Dash Decentralized Network partially owns Valkyrie, which means that any profits made off of like the ETF and stuff of that would, you know, increase the value associated with the Dash network. So that's kind of an interesting, you know, it's like back the right horse at the right at the beginning. But also, I believe in the first, you know, the first round, not the seed round, but whatever the next round is, I believe that Justin Sun and Charlie Lee and some others invested in Valkyrie. So Justin Sun's gonna be all right, right? And no tears for him. It's just that I don't know. Do you remember though when Bitrefill added USDT Tron as a payment method?
I don't know. I mean, I barely pay attention to all the different methods of payment. I just kind of always use Dash, but yeah, because I mean it's just the easiest and the cheapest and the fastest. But yeah, no, I don't recall.
That was pretty hilarious though when and they said a lot of people in like Latin America want to use like fiat stable coins to pay for stuff, and it's just too expensive on like ETH, so they're using like a Tron one. There's a lot. It was like a 4% of Bitrefill's volume or something came from USDT on Tron or something. It's just like, wow, I never would have expected that. But then yeah, you got the
True.
Binance smart chains and other things, which seems to, and then I guess Avalanche and stuff, or AVAX or whatever you want to call it. A lot of these things that are, I haven't paid too close attention to them, but I think eating, like, maybe not eating Ether's lunch, but eating Ethereum's little, like, you know, side bag of potato chips, like nibbling on some of them, even though ETH just keeps the sandwich. Have you looked much into those kind of, into the actual progress of stuff like Binance and Ava and other things like that?
I've briefly looked through like the Binance Smart Chain, but I mean, when I talk to people, most people look at it like a place to like gamble on up and coming new tokens, rather than like, you know, actually like making like interesting like projects that, you know, have some sort of value, aside from just like, you know, pump and dumps and all this kind of stuff. A lot of people will tell me that like the most crypto pump and dumps and rug pulls and scams are coming out on BSC right now. So I mean, I would take that with a grain of salt, but
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely does seem interesting. I'm a little skeptical of Binance. I mean, they just like pulled out of Canada, or at least in a couple provinces in Canada, so they're like pulling out. Same with KU Coin. I think Binance is like getting hit with a bunch of, I guess they're like asking
Lawsuits.
them to do a lot more regulation, and they're just saying no, and they're pulling out of a bunch of places, which I guess makes sense. But so I had to close my Binance account. But yeah, I mean, I'm interested in it. I'm not investing in it, but I'm sort of following along.
Yeah, so one time commented in the thing about the Valkyrie Trust. He says, not approval from the SEC, but from NASDAQ. Okay, well, thanks for the clarification. Hopefully gets actual SEC approval, because that'd be pretty big. But
Yeah, I retweeted the SEC earlier today because they were mentioning something about Bitcoin investing or crypto investing, and that like here's like some guidelines we recommend, and a lot of people saw that as like a good thing because in 4 days they're going to make some sort of last approval or not or whatever for the ETF. I think that's what it is.
Well, hopefully that stuff goes well. The whole ETF world is just so foreign to anything that I have to do with crypto, as far as like, first off, I don't use exchanges. I don't have exchange accounts. Like, I haven't bought with fiat, because I may or earn crypto. And then it's even then, I would have, if I did get an exchange account because I got paid fiat for some reason, I would buy crypto and hold it on my own. Or and then just like the ETF is just so far removed from all this stuff. But like, I get how, it's useful for like boomers and stuff, I guess. But
In Canada, there is one good reason why you would do ETFs, and it's because we get tax-free savings accounts. And if you want to be able to invest in Bitcoin or Ethereum through an ETF in Canada, you could do that and then not have to pay capital gains. So that's the only reason that I would think that that makes sense. And I'm doing that with just like a small amount of money. But I always tell people like never, never, never buy it through like Robinhood or PayPal. That's just the worst of every world. Like you don't get the tax benefits and you don't actually get the decentralization or the ownership. So just do not do that, if anything.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. I'm much more interested in the decentralized aspect of all this stuff, which kind of reminds me of this next one about Uniswap. So Uniswap taps former Obama campaign spokesperson to handle communications. The Washington Insider will help the company navigate through increasingly turbulent regulatory waters. So, obviously, we're talking about not Uniswap, the decentralized protocol built on Ethereum, but we're talking about the Uniswap company that makes the decentralized protocol and stuff like that. And yeah, DeFi is starting to hit the regulatory bumps in the road. And yeah, isn't Uniswap being investigated by the SEC? I don't remember.
Yeah, I think it actually says that in here as well. But yeah, I know that Uniswap, like it wasn't that long ago that they removed several things from their platform. And it was kind of like, I assume, in preparation for this case. Or, oh yeah, later down in the article, it says that Cointelegraph in early September said that the SEC launched an investigation into Uniswap Labs. So. Yeah, I mean, I think that's around the time when they started to remove some stuff. Like they removed all of their tokenized cryptocurrencies, so like of stocks rather. So they had like Apple, but as like a decentralized like crypto stock, tokenized crypto stock. They removed all of those from Uniswap, I guess when the SEC case started. So yeah, I mean, they're definitely they're not as decentralized as you might think, but it is what it is.
Yeah, that's gonna be a fun. It's funny because, Uniswap's like, oh, we're gonna swap decentralized token for a decentralized token on a decentralized platform. Isn't this all great? And they start like putting like stocks on it. Just like, dude, it's like you're pulling a Ross Ulbricht here, and far like you're just trying to get in trouble at this point. I mean, obviously free Ross and everything, but everyone knows the risks associated with just going straight like that. Like, same thing with like stable coins, for example, right? Stable coins as a trading tool or kind of one thing, but then when people start offering stablecoin interest bearing accounts and stuff, like remember when Coinbase did that, and then the regulators just like no.
Yeah, they got really hit hard with that. Yeah.
Yeah, which is kind of a, I don't know. I guess the fiat world really, you know, the fiat world is not into competition on the fiat, in the fiat sphere.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I made a video about that, and all I really said was like, look, at the end of the day, lending through an exchange is not even really a good idea anyways, because you shouldn't leave your crypto on an exchange just for like a measly little payout. It's just, it's not worth it. And I mean, there's decentralized ways to lend, or you could just provide liquidity, or you could stake a crypto. There's no reason to be lending, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, that's the crazy part. So I don't know if you kept up with ThorChain or the cross-chain Uniswap, basically, but they have pretty good like decentralized lending rates. Like I think Bitcoin Cash is like 25% API or something like that. And
wow.
Yeah, which is like not bad. Of course, they did get hacked a few times earlier in the year, and then they're like re-enabling everything now after they fixed everything. And the Treasury paid off everyone's losses and stuff. And because it's in ChaosNet, which is like mainnet testnet. It's like a very limited mainnet kind of thing. It's not full mainnet until maybe next year, but you can still use it today. And so, like, I can't imagine, first off, like, anyone in the world could just take their money and put it on there and get gains from it, right? And they don't have to trust it with an exchange. And like, I don't understand how the old world's going to compete, including like exchanges, like, oh, Binance, like, shut, like they just want KYC or they boot you off. And it's like, all right, well, you're screwed. Like all that risk has like a monetary value to it. And just having so much, and of course, with DeFi, there's different risks, but it's like once this stuff gets smooth, I don't think like all the old financial world is going to have to like, is going to be crumbling pretty much.
Yeah. Cause I mean, anyone can just get started and get going. And I mean, there's limitations right now with like ETH fees and stuff, but as that gets kind of solved, I think we'll just see so many more people just going into passive crypto income. And I mean, like as someone who loves dividends and earning my dividends from my stocks, I can earn so much more from crypto with so much less money that it's just like, it's such a crazy comparison.
Yeah. And that's, I kind of came around like the digital cash side of things from crypto where I'm like, oh, this is going to be money no one can control. And there's huge value in that. And it's true, but I didn't realize that more than our ability to transact, our ability to earn has been super suppressed by the old system, and that's where it's just, boom, it's just popping. That's where everyone is getting into. It's just like, wow, you mean now I can like work hard and then play with my money in a smart way and actually like have more money at the, like the stuff they tell you all about investing, but then like no one can. And then when you, or it's harder. And then when you actually do learn how to do and stuff, you get like, you know, and then inflation hits you, and it's like this gold rush, the digital gold rush, you know?
Yeah. It seems like everyone's just like looking for, the problem is though, now you've got like people who are just looking for high APY. So then, you know, Mark Cuban's like, hey guys, like 206%, come invest in this. And then, you know, and then it crashes and everyone gets screwed. So that would be the main caveat that I would say is like, you know, still be realistic to some degree when you're looking for what you want to put your yields towards.
Yeah. I mean, here at Hex is an attractive option these days.
No.
Which, you know, it's funny is when most people, like I just don't care about Hex, so I don't use it. But I don't know too much about it, but I always link your article whenever people are like, well, what are the criticisms on it? I'm like, well, check this one out, I guess, you know, read it, whatever. And because like, I always get one of those like, oh yeah, like my brother started drinking. It's like my brother he's into Hex now. Like, what do I send him? And so I send him, and there was like 1 out of 10 times where it's like, oh, okay, I didn't know. Okay, that sounds sketchy. The other ones were like, lol, okay, I hope you like being poor. Like, it was just that same response from, it's like, all right, gamble. I mean, as far as I know, people who have been into Hex have been done really well so far.
Yeah, I
So,
mean, I guess they're doing all right, but at the end of the day, it was built out of basically a scam that he like manipulated the price and did so much craziness. But yeah, I mean, just simply that, like, if you want to stake it for 10 years and you forget about it, then you've got like a certain amount of weeks to withdraw that, or else all of your gains are eliminated and go back to Richard Hart. So, like, is that what you want? Like, I mean, yeah, sure, you might set a reminder on your phone for 10 years from now, but like, you get a new phone or whatever. Like, I don't know. It just seems so crazy to me that you like lose most of your gains if you're like not exactly on top of it, or if you want to pull out early, obviously. If you pull out after 5 years, then you get no gains either. So, kind of crazy to me.
yeah, I do know some people who have gotten some, knowing full well it's a pyramid scheme, but have gotten some and just don't stake it. They're just, you know what? I'm gonna hold on to it, and then I'll just dump it at the convenient time. And they know they're playing with fire, but it is what it is. Oh, I hope I don't have too many Hex fans watching this. You're gonna get all pissed off at me and
And I
unsubscribe.
mean, hey, I'll give them this. Like, it's been going up, so
Yes.
good for them. And here's something that I will say too: all the coins that I criticize, I've never said that they will not go up in value. I just really do not like the things that they're doing, what the founders are doing, the fundamentals of the coin, the things built
You don't
in,
trust it.
and I think it's sketchy. Yeah, and I don't trust it. I never said that it wouldn't go up in value. So, I'm up 10x this year from my crypto gains, and people are like, yeah, but you'd be retired if you invested it all in Hex. And it's like, okay, well, we can play that game all day. Like, I could just buy lottery tickets all day every day, and I could win the lottery, but like,
Yeah.
yeah.
The whole have fun staying poor thing is kind of that's one thing that
Yeah.
always cracks me up is when people use price movements as a technical argument, where it's just like, oh, this is tech is better than that. Well, yeah, we'll look at the chart. All right, whatever. That's not what it's
Yeah.
for. But I think at some point in the future there will be a little bit more of a reconciliation between those two things. Although I think the Doges will always be with us. Yeah, so you mentioned like the ETH fees and all that kind of crazy stuff. I can't use ETH anymore. I got like a few hundred bucks of it, and I want to, and of random tokens, I want to swap them like Uniswap or whatever. And it's just like, all right, your $20 of, $40 of this costs $50 in fees to do. And it's like, are people actually paying this stuff? Like, who's doing all this? Because it seems like that's a huge fee unless you're a whale.
Yeah. And I mean, ideally, once we get sharding, a lot of this will be alleviated in the next like 6 months. But yeah, I'm not really doing a whole lot on ETH unless I'm getting like exorbitant like payouts. I made a video on this just the other day about how like fees to withdraw from platforms are crazy, and if it's connected to Ethereum, usually it's going to be ridiculous fees. So yeah, I mean, that is a big problem right now, but I think hopefully a lot of that will be solved in the near future. But I still recommend people might as well just focus on platforms for now that don't have these issues, like Hive or Library or whatever else.
Well, speaking of library and Odyssey, we got a hyper chat from Nudge. Hi, Nudge. He says, my friend was into Hex and refused to have his mind changed even after sitting in one of Scott's videos. Oh, well. So.
Hey, well, I appreciate that. You're not going to change their minds most of the time. It's kind of cult-like, I would say, honestly.
Yeah. Well, let's go into the Bitcoin world and the Canadian world. So, Canadian city plans to supply residents heat using Bitcoin mining. The recovered energy will be used to heat 100 residential and commercial buildings in North Vancouver, a population of roughly 155,000. And Mint Green, a Canada-based clean tech cryptocurrency miner, we'll be partnering with Lonsdale Energy Corporation to supply the heat, et cetera, starting early 2022. So, first, what's your thought on the use case of mining for heat?
I think this is epic. I mean, unfortunately, it will only work a portion of the year, obviously, mm-hmm. when it's actually cold. So I think it'll probably work the best in countries that are colder, I guess. So obviously starting in Canada is a good bet because it's cold more than it's warm. But yeah, I'll see probably more success with this in colder countries. I know like Russia is like great for Bitcoin mining situations, but I haven't really heard of them using the excess heat to heat homes. I think this is like another amazing way that Bitcoiners are finding ways to be like green and, you know, use everything as much as they possibly can. And just, yeah, I think this is a fantastic way to do it. And yeah, I definitely love to see more of this for sure. My only concern would be, are they still going to be mining in the summer? Like, what are they going to do then? But mm-hmm. in terms of the use case, I think it's awesome.
Yeah. So North Vancouver's north part of Vancouver, right? It's like, or is it, because I know there's a million towns around where I live that are like 3 hours away is like south, whatever, like Hampton. There's a million Hamptons and they're all over the place. But so Vancouver doesn't get that cold, does it?
Yeah, I mean, here it just says negative 20 is like the lowest recorded temperature. So that doesn't even seem very cold to me. Like, it's mm-hmm. been way colder here in Ontario. Like, we've had like negative 30 mm-hmm. with wind chill, like negative 40. So
yeah,
like,
that's horrendous.
yeah. It's it can get pretty bad.
Yeah. So there, like, and, also Quebec, I'm sure it'd be another, I mean, cold as balls there too and stuff. Like, I'm sure you could do that. Even, like Nova Scotia and stuff has to be not ever really that warm, right? And so mm-hmm. I mean, I forget, one time I checked out like the daily temperatures in like Halifax across the year, and it just seemed like it just never gets super cold but never gets super hot either, you know, just like it's yeah. always like chilly. So that kind of stuff, I mean, what if you had, the thing is, it's about like the availability of electricity too. Which, yeah, you know, I wonder what are the best, like, so imagine if you, I wonder if anyone's ever going to create, like, I wonder if nuclear energy is ever going to be back in vogue where people start working on the tech and make sure it's safe as anything. Imagine creating like a city in like smack dab in the middle of Antarctica that just like a nuclear reactor surrounded by like, with like a Bitcoin mining farm that all the buildings are built on that just keeps them heated all the time and then just kind of pays people for whatever. So people are always using their crypto to pay for stuff to be shipped in or whatever else. And like, you know, move over Mars. Like, why are you trying to go to Mars if you haven't even been to Antarctica? But that would be funny. Yeah. If you create, and it'd be funny because because of the efficiency of, you know, okay, well, you have a big nuclear reactor and all the mining you can actually get done from around there. What if it would actually be like a super popular place to be? And then unfortunately too many people move and then it starts like melting all Antarctica and then causing a global catastrophe. But hey, that's getting ahead of ourselves a little bit here.
Yeah. I mean, it almost reminds me of how like Akon, I don't know if he still is, but he was like building like this city and it was going to be run entirely on Acoin, his like cryptocurrency mm-hmm. or whatever. I don't know if that's still a thing or not, but yeah, it reminds me of something like that. But then you would just do that somewhere really cold and then, you know, voila.
Yeah. I mean, that would make sense. Nudge sent another hyper chat here. He says, has Scott ever been to New Hampshire? If not, when will you visit?
I've never been, I don't intend on visiting anytime soon, but, mm-hmm. In the near future, you know, once I retire and I become a crypto millionaire, I will be hitting up all of the, all the conferences worldwide eventually.
Mm-hmm.
So have you been to many
conferences in the past?
Mainly just ones in Toronto. So mm-hmm. Futurist is kind of like the go-to, the Futurist blockchain conference. I met a lot of people for through that, but yeah, I haven't really gone outside of Toronto. There was also Blockchain Boost conference, I think it was. But yeah, like I haven't done a whole lot of traveling for conferences and stuff, but in the future, I think that'll definitely be on my list. And I'd love to like connect more with crypto content creators around the world and kind of get more involved in that way.
Yeah. I've been to just a few, but not nearly enough. It just, every time I'm like, what's the ROI kind of thing? Like I need to like start doing, I need to get invited to speak and then I'll go. And I need to like start doing stuff on the channel that's like on the ground at the conference. But like,
yeah, that's kind of what I would like to do. But it just seems like so much work. And then you're just like working rather than doing the conference. And
yeah,
Ken Bosak knows all about the conference life for sure.
Oh, he knows a lot about a lot of weird things. that's for damn sure. Oh, like making like set like a couple thousand bucks in a day playing Splinterlands and whatever else he does. But that's just
crazy.
That's just him. Well, on the other end of the spectrum from the craziness, there was this Cointelegraph magazine thing that, you know, it's not like the in-depth part of the article. It's just, I thought this is very applicable to your specialty of slow and steady is the path to crypto riches, says YouTube star Data Dash. I forget his name, Nicholas Merton. I forget how you say his name. But yeah, I've seen his stuff before. And basically... yeah, basically, it's not like put it all in HEX and other altcoins or whatever and just go ballistic. It's just the slow, steady investment strategy. Do you have any words on that you want to share?
Yeah, I mean, while you can maybe get lucky on Doge or whatever else, It just makes sense to me that you play the long, slow, steady game, because it's like you could get rich in 6 months to a year, but you probably won't. I'd rather guarantee myself to get wealthy in like 10 years and just like follow that like to a T. And obviously you're not guaranteed, but like very, very, very safe versus a much more risky route. And everyone's looking for like the risky play to go right to the top really quick because, you know, people have crazy expectations in crypto. I always bring up the story of how I got my friend into Ethereum at 1900 Canadian and now it's like 4800 or whatever. And after Elon Musk did his tweet and it went down a bunch, he was like, oh, I'm only 2x now. And I was like, yeah, that's great. Like, that's fantastic. You never see anything like that anywhere else, like in stocks or whatever. And he's just like, yeah, but I was 3x before. So like, that's what I need now. And it's just like, people's expectations just get really, really crazy with crypto. And it's just even worse with everything lately, NFTs, all these coins just popping out of nowhere. Their only use cases like a high APY, you know, all this craziness. There's so much to like sift through, and it's so easy to do, like to create a coin anonymously with no accountability, that it's like just getting into penny stocks when you start investing. It just doesn't make any sense. I think people should stick to safe things that have good use cases. And yeah, I mean, it's hard to actually convince people though, because it's like, okay, so now you're going to slowly invest for the next like 10, 20, 30 years and, you know, and then you'll be good. And that doesn't seem like cool enough for most people or like enticing enough. So they don't really, you know, they don't really care to bother with doing that. And yeah. And then that's really the big issue. So they're like, you know what, I'll just take this $100 or $1,000 and I'll just put it all into Doge or HEX. And hopefully that, you know, gets me rich. But realistically, even if it does work out, they'll have $2,000. And it's like, okay, are you rich now? So you have to be investing constantly and like building up your investments and just continuing. I think dollar cost averaging in is the best way to go about it. But yeah, I mean, you have to have high conviction in it too. You have to keep investing. Most people that I talk to who are like, oh yeah, like I'm in crypto now. And I'm like, really? Nice. Like, they're like, yeah, I put $100 in once. And I was like, okay, like, I guess you're in, but like, you know, what is that really going to do for you when inflation hits or whatever else? Like, you're really just kind of like playing around, not like looking into the technology seriously and being like, this is the solution to inflation or whatever else. I think that's a good place to start, but it's not going to get you very far. And I think people need to kind of shift their perspective there.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because buying Bitcoin, just BTC, is kind of viewed as like the safe investment strategy of the new safe investment strategy. But like, think about over the last decade and a half almost, man, it's been a long time, of like, anytime anyone put all a bunch of their money in Bitcoin is like, you know, 1,000 time gains potentially, but you could get wrecked too. It's super risky. Whatever, it all goes to zero. What happens when, you know, the government bans it and turns it all off, or whatever you hear over the years and stuff. And so the most stable, the most safe bet has been like a super risky bet over the years, up till including today, I think. I still think, like, I forget who it was. There was some guy on Twitter. There was a bunch of, you know, hardcore maxis on Twitter saying weird things. But the one guy was just saying, like, he was encouraging people to take out, like, low-interest loans. Like, just that paying off your debt is the stupidest thing you can do. You just take out...
I think Max Kaiser was saying, like, just take out loans and, like, just go all in and stuff. That might have been who it was.
It wasn't actually him. It was, like, a Dennis Porter or someone like that, or Dennis Parker, one of those other people. But I've heard a lot of people say this. And I there's a lot of people actually, like, friends of mine who I know and respect that do a little bit of this kind of stuff. And, like, there's a calculus there where... It's not you. If you, let's just say you have a mortgage, right? Like a $400,000 mortgage or $500,000 mortgage, and you have to pay that off over, you know, several decades, and it's denominated in dollars. And if you think, like, as long as it's, you still owe the same amount and you have more money in crypto than that, you would probably want to string it around, because eventually how much you owe is just, like, with inflation, is just going down. That makes perfect sense if you understand the financial system, understand that the fiat system is collapsing way faster than it used to be. Still not going to be gone in the next 5 years, I don't think. But it's still like, you see prices going up, you see all the nonsense going on. That makes sense. On the other hand, though, what's Bitcoin at? 6,100 or something today, 61 grand rather. Or I don't know what it is in USD, but...
I only know in the Canadian denomination. So for me, it's like, well, it's 76K even higher, right now.
Yeah, well, it's even, I mean, it's, what happens if people put all, like, take out a whole bunch of loans in fiat, whatever, and put all into Bitcoin, the safer option, right, today? And what's the price of Bitcoin going to be like at the end of next year, beginning 2023 or something? Like, you could have, like, no money. You could be wrecked. You could have to default on loans and go bankrupt and stuff through the safest option, because we see market cycles go up and down. It's not just like, oh, you know, the 70 whatever Canadian dollar thing is going to be like a 65,000 Canadian dollars. It's like it could go down to, like, you know, like 20,000 or something. Who knows what it's going to do? And so even like the slow, steady, even that kind of stuff, it might not be good enough, because it's still very... you know, very volatile at this point, very new, even the safer part. But so obviously you want to do the slow and steady approach. On the other hand, though, there's so much new stuff. Like, for example, if you say, oh, I just want Bitcoin, and you missed out on anything that has some kind of staking return, like say you could get an ETH 2.0 node or whatever and get some, like, you missed out on a lot. And it's not just, well, because you got lucky. It's just like you were behind the times. And then DeFi is another thing where it's just like maybe a little higher risk. But if you're not LPing somewhere, not providing liquidity somewhere, getting that sweet, sweet APY and all that nonsense, like maybe you don't have to be super gambly about it. But if you're not getting something extra, then you're kind of falling behind. But then you also need to kind of do that. So because the world is so new, this world is so new, I think that, like, the slow and steady is just like hold gold, right? But then you get into crypto, and then I think once you're in the crypto, you have to somehow balance the slow and steady world by still being cutting edge somehow, still having a foot into the cutting edge world, because, you know, you could be completely, you know, left behind where, you know, some people might throw all their money into Bitcoin and then Bitcoin goes up to, say, $100,000 Canadian and then kind of like sits there and then everything else goes up. And then, you know, and then over, you know, 10, 15 years from now, the purchasing power of Bitcoin might go down, even start going to get phased out as a new thing comes along, which who knows, because the world, like, no one predicted Bitcoin would be like replacing gold within under 20 years kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And the next thing that could come up faster, who knows? So anyway, yeah, there's a lot of that stuff too.
Yeah, a lot to unpack there. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned like taking out a mortgage and stuff. I have like this, I don't know if it's a conspiracy theory, but if inflation and everything just gets worse and worse and worse, eventually just no one can afford property tax. And that will be the way that no one is able to own property anymore. Because mm-hmm. if your house becomes worth $10 million, then the property tax, you know, could be 50 grand a year or something. So, you know, it could get just like so ridiculous that no one can even afford to have a home. But yeah, I don't know exactly how that would play out. But in my opinion, it's better to hold crypto than any other asset, because I could just find so many like potential flaws in all these other assets. Like, because people say, oh, but real estate is the best ever. It's like, well, talk to me in 10 years when your house is worth so much that you can't even afford to keep it.
Which, on a side note, isn't property tax such nonsense that you just like,
oh yeah,
owe money for existing? It's just like, imagine if you paid on your unrealized capital gains every year, which some people are trying to make you do with like crypto and other investments. That's
insane. Like I saw there was like talk about that in like last week or 2 weeks ago or something like that, that they were trying to do unrealized capital gains as like income or something, which is just like, yeah, it's wild the stuff that they come up with sometimes. But yeah, I mean, it does make sense that I could see maybe BTC getting phased out eventually in the future. But at the same time, you know, like when people are getting into crypto now, they look at me and they're like, oh, here's an old boomer. He just invests in Bitcoin. And I'm like, all right. Like, I mean, it's a pretty risky asset, but they're like, yeah, he's not investing in any altcoins. Like, that's such a, he's so conservative with his investments. And I think that's a crazy mentality, but that is, it starts to seem like that's the case now, where people are like, you're a safe investor if you just do Bitcoin, and you're actually taking risks if you do everything else. But I mean, it's still all risky. It's just more risk or less risk. And it kind of blows my mind that people have shifted so far off into the deep end. Like I was saying earlier, with expectations in crypto are just kind of out of whack. So people just have like a really weird perception of the markets and how things are going on. But yeah, I still think, you know, Bitcoin, Ethereum, great investments. The only really like really speculative investment I'm doing is LBC. And I mean, it worked out really well, because like I sold it at like 28 cents and then it went down to 2 cents and then I bought everything back. And then now it's at like 5 cents. But, you know, they're still going through their SEC case and all that stuff. But yeah, Library is a promising platform. So that's kind of that's my only really like risky one.
Yeah, it's funny because I'm the absolute anti-investor, which is like, like you're the smart investor and then there's the stupid gambling investors, and I'm like the non-investor because the stuff that I have been like using the most, which kind of dictates the holdings as it were, have tended to be in the recent years Dash, Library, and recently ThorChain a little bit, although I talk about it more than I actually use it because I can't move Dash into it yet because Dash is not on it yet, although it will be very soon. And when it does, then it's like, okay. But it's like, ThorChain's done okay, and it hasn't done amazingly yet. Library's done pretty awful, I guess. It depends on your...
Depends when you bought it.
Depends on your time frame, but like recently it's like, you know, 800th place on CoinMarketCap or something. And Dash did spectacularly in 2017, which I wasn't expecting, and not nearly as well recently. And that's, you know, especially in the context of the giant mega hype pump, which I don't think people realize so much of that was the first staking coin kind of deal where you could buy a master and be set for life, and everyone was pouring into that stuff because, like, you know, you literally at the peak could just live your entire life retired off of, like, what was, you know, 10 grand at the beginning of 2017. You put 10 grand in and you're retired, like, permanently get recurring income for life. And people underestimate the power of that, like, pump. But yeah, I mean, you know, I try to hopefully be on the cutting edge of using things, although I haven't gotten into NFTs yet. And other than uniswapping a couple things around and that I got off Publish 0x, right? And Thorchain and stuff, I haven't really touched DeFi that much. But yeah, there's just too much to keep up with. But I do know that by using stuff like Dash Direct, I'm saving every day on purchases and stuff. So let's just say you get, if you get like 5% APY on like masternode reward type things, or like shared masternode rewards or whatever you're using, and then you save, using that money, you save 5% on average on your purchases, like, that does stack. And then, you know, you kind of go from there. And then if you're a cheap bastard like you are, then it's like all of a sudden you can just save so much money. So
yeah, and by the way, I do have to jump in 2 minutes. Well, at three,
this is a great time to wrap.
I did want to say,
yeah,
I do love Dash. I think Dash has a lot of future potential. Anytime one of my buddies has a kid, I give them $100 worth of Dash and I say, this is the college fund. And then, you know, see where that goes.
Well, nice. As long as they don't lose their keys, right?
That's the most important thing. I think they will. So I keep messaging them. I'm like, you better still have those keys, man. Like,
yeah, you should just have like a big book of like all these seed phrases and stuff. And then like in 10 years and they're like, oh, I'm going to pay for college. Just like a rug, pull them on and be like, that lesson is more important than college right there. You're welcome.
Yeah, that's a lesson. Yeah, that's good.
All right. So tell everyone where they can find you and stuff.
Yeah, so you can follow me everywhere at Scott C Business, or looking up Crypto and Things as my podcast, which is on Spotify, Apple Podcast, all that good stuff. But yeah, I'm basically on every platform under at Scott C Business, and specifically S-C-O-T-T-C and then Business, because I've been getting all these impersonators on Instagram lately, and they're like copying my accounts, messaging everyone I know, pretending to be me, trying to sell crypto courses and stuff. So yeah, definitely watch out for that.
Imagine that just ruined selling crypto courses for you now. You can't do it anymore because they're going to think
it's
a scammer.
I don't think I ever would. It's just, yeah.
Yeah. All right, cool. Well, if you like this, like, comment, share, subscribe, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, and hope you enjoyed. I hope you enjoyed your weekend. Happy Friday. And yeah, we'll see you guys all next week. Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast, subscribe so you don't miss an episode, and donate to support the show by going to my Cointree page. That's cointr.ee/thedesertlinks, and leave a message with your donation. Check out the show's sponsors. Live on Crypto with Bitrefill. Buy absolutely anything with crypto with Shop and Bit. Avoid content censorship with Odyssey. Protect your privacy online with NordVPN. Get paid to search with Presearch. All links are in the show notes.